Can we just bow our heads? Let's just give this time to the Lord, all right? Let's just ask, quiet our hearts to before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us this place and this time. Lord, that we are able to gather together to worship you, to minister unto you, to sing unto you. And now, Lord, we pray also that we want to hear from you, O Father. We desire, Lord, to receive what you have for us to pick up even today, O Lord. Lord, we know that one word from you can change everything. So we ask, O Lord, for that one word for each and every one of us, that our lives will change and will never be the same again. Today, Lord, we ask that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and give us hearts, O Lord, that are able to receive from you. So, Lord, we give this time to you, and we welcome you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so how many of you, we are almost to the end of the year, how many of you can still remember our theme for this year? Our theme for this, oh yes, sorry, just before we go into that, right, I know that the children will need to go to Sunday school, all right? So I'm just going to ask, children, don't dart off yet. Sunday school children, all take a stand, and we're going to pray for you, okay? We're going to pray for our children. Very important to pray for them. Okay, children, take a stand. Everyone, stretch your hand towards a child that you see, okay? Don't stretch towards me, okay? I know I'm still a child, but stretch towards these ones, okay? We're going for Sunday school. Let's pray. Father, we commit every one of these children into your hands. You know them by name. Lord, we pray that as they fellowship together, as they play together, as they go through the activities together, Lord, that your Spirit, Lord, will reveal Christ to each of them. Reveal your heart to them. Reveal your love to them. Let them have such a sweet fellowship with you. Let them know the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, even as they are together. And we pray that your anointing will be on the teachers, that you will speak through the teachers, that your anointing will flow through them, Lord, to be imparted to every child. We commit our children to you, and we bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, children, you can go for your Sunday school. Okay, for the rest of the children of God here, okay, what's the theme that we have for this year? Again, this year we are walking by sight. Walking by sight, right, this year? Walking by faith and not by sight, okay? And we are on the Gospel of Mark. We have now reached to the final chapter, which is Mark 16. And Mark 16 can hold a glorious truth. It unfortunately has also sparked off some controversies which are very unnecessary. So before we go into the main text for Mark 16 today, all right, I just want to say a few words about the ending of Mark 16. Now, most of the scholars would have agreed or would agree that Mark chapter 16 will end at verse 8. Okay, verse 8. It ends there. The gospel writing ends there. This is because the earliest and the most ancient manuscripts that we have do not have anything else after verse 8. All right? So verses 9 to 20 mostly are what you will call a subsequent addition. All right? It was added in by some copies around maybe the 2nd century or so because they felt that if it ends at verse 8, it feels incomplete. So out of the goodness of their heart, they then added in this segment of verses 9 to 20 to make it and give it a bit more of a complete ending to the gospel. But having said that, rest assured that verses 9 to 20 are not dodgy in terms of content, all right? They are not dodgy. They are, in fact, quite accurate and right, correct, all right? Because they were adapted from most of the other three Gospels, and they were taken from the book of Acts as well. Now, a lot of times, right, what has intrigued many people over the centuries was that, was there meant, did Mark, the gospel writer, meant to have a longer ending? Did he intended to have a more complete ending? Or did Mark, as the writer, actually intended to end at verse 8 itself? Now, both of these positions are speculative. And as of today itself, this moment itself, there is no clear or hard evidence that will argue fully for either position. But that's not really the main point that we want to delve into. Because regardless of what it is, at this juncture of Mark chapter 16, the gospel writer had, there was no doubt that he had wanted to proclaim that Jesus of Nazareth has indeed risen from the dead. And that's his main point. At this point, he wanted to tell, he wanted to proclaim, he wanted to highlight that Jesus has risen from the dead. And perhaps at this point, he had also wanted to provoke his readers, readers of his time, readers of our time, even right now, to reflect on what are we to do about this truth that Jesus has risen from the dead. And so for this morning, we will be looking at verses 1 to 8, and we'll be looking at how this story or this truth of the resurrection of Jesus, what does it mean for our faith? So this morning, there'll be 4 points that I'll be sharing with you. The first point is, who will roll the stone away? Who will roll the stone away? Let's look at Mark 16, verses 1 to 4. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices. Salome, not salami. Okay? Salome, all right? They bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Now, in Mark chapter 15, the chapter prior, we know that these three women, the two Marys and Salome, they were amongst the closer women disciples of Jesus. They followed him and they ministered to him during his days of ministry. They witnessed the crucifixion and the death of Jesus on the cross. And they also saw the tomb in which Jesus was subsequently buried. Here, they wanted to minister and to serve Jesus just as how they had been doing before, by anointing his body in the tomb. They knew, however, that there was an impossible task that was ahead of them, where they will literally come face to face with a block of rock that will stand between them and their beloved teacher, their master, and their Lord. And although Jesus had foretold to his disciples at least 3 times how he will be flogged, how he will be killed, how he will be buried, and after 3 days, he will rise again. On that morning, that third day, the morning of that third day, these three women were clearly not quite expecting the resurrection of Jesus. What could have been on their mind that morning, or maybe even over the couple of days prior, was perhaps, who will roll the stone away? Who will roll it away for them so that they may be able to serve the Lord one more time by anointing his body? Now, despite that, these three women were so compelled by their devotion to Jesus that they wasted no time in setting off to minister to Jesus. The moment the Sabbath was over, first thing in the morning, they set out. And yet, their question was still unanswered. And they were still asking along the way, who will roll the stone away? But lo and behold, when they finally reached the tomb, the large stone, the huge and daunting-looking boulder that they had been so worried about, had been rolled away. And it wasn't by any clever strategy of theirs, It wasn't by any effort or engineering on their part. It was by the act of God Himself. I wonder how many of us, if we are in a similar situation, how many of us would perhaps taken a pause and we would have delayed our setting out? You know, we've got a huge stone in front of us. Maybe we should all just call for a conference meeting. Maybe we should do an online Zoom meeting and let's discuss and let's first brainstorm. How do we remove that stone? How do we remove all those challenges that's ahead of us before and instead of just stepping out in faith? Yes, we may say that we want to serve Jesus. We may say that we want to respond to His call. But what if we can't move the stone? What if in the process of moving the stone, trying to move the stone, we land ourselves up in more trouble, with more persecution? What if we try to move the stone and we are met only with disappointment or with failure or we are met with embarrassment because of our failure? So I wonder how many of us would then rationalize with ourselves and we reason with ourselves and we tell ourselves, okay, you know what? Just pray. Pray and pray and pray and pray. Pray until the stone and all the challenges are all removed and resolved, and then we go out. How many of us would do that? Now, it is true and it is correct to say that we should always pray and we should always exercise prudence and wisdom. But there will be times where we will have to take the first step, where we have to step outwards by faith with whatever that God has put upon our hearts. Step out by faith. Step out in the direction of the desire that God has put upon our hearts. Trust that God will lead and that He will open the way as we walk. Trust that He will unfold each step and that He will lead us through each step along the way. I remember that when the Lord called my family and I to move from Singapore to Perth, of all the things, one of the many things that I prayed for, I asked God one question, and it was, Lord, what do you want me to do here in Perth? What do you want us to do here in Perth? Was I to return to a job in the marketplace which I previously had? Or was I to work and serve in a church, in a local church, or in a local Christian organization? And honestly, that was one of my main concerns because we do not have any connections here. We don't have any friends. We don't have any family here. So we have no clue what God may have for us when He called us over here. So yes, I wanted to serve God. Yes, I wanted to be obedient to His call. But you see, there was this big stone and there was this big boulder. The uncertainty of whether we could have a job, what is the ministry that's ahead of us, there's this uncertainty that's ahead of us. And by nature, I'm a risk-averse person. I'm the type of a person where I need to have a plan and a blueprint. You need to see everything. God, you have to show me step one, step two, step three, all the way to step 10 and more, and then maybe I'll say, yes, Lord. But as I was praying, the Lord gave me an impression and He gave me an image of a blank piece of paper. And I saw this image at least twice. But there wasn't anything written on that piece of paper. And I asked God, why? Is it because I can't see what's written there or is it meant to be blank? And then the Lord impressed upon my heart and He said this, take the first step by moving over first, and when I get here, then He will show me the next step. And I went, huh? Lord, are you really seriously serious? Am I hearing you right? What if I hear you wrong in this? It's no joke moving your whole family over. not knowing what you're going to do. But eventually, by the grace of God, we did take that step. We took that step of faith, or I would say that leap of faith, and we came over. So we did have to wait for a few months. On one hand, we were wondering if we would get jobs, wondering whether we would have a home church, what will ministry look like. And yet, on the other hand, we were trying our best to trust in God and to wait for Him to show us. And brothers and sisters, friends, God was truly faithful and He was gracious, because in His time and in His way, He opened the door. He provided for us. He led us one step at a time. One stone after another was removed. Have all the stones been removed for us as a family? I'll tell you honestly, no. There are still stones, large ones, ahead of us. But you see, in our experience, we have seen how God has removed the stones in the past. And then, so we can trust Him to move the stones ahead of us in His time and in His way as well. Why? Because, friends, the God that we serve, He is faithful. And He is faithful to all who respond to Him in faith. So, brothers and sisters, what is God calling you to do? What is the stone that is ahead of you? Can I encourage you to prayerfully respond to the Lord, step out in faith, and trust that our faithful God will remove that stone for you, and in the process of doing so, that He will reveal to you His greater glory? Step out in faith. Don't just keep praying. Step out in faith. The second point. Jesus the Nazarene has risen. Everyone say, Jesus has risen. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Friends, brothers and sisters, the resurrection of Jesus is the bedrock. It is the centerpiece and the linchpin of the Christian faith. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, this is how he puts it. "If Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and our Christian faith is also useless." The rise and the fall of the Christian faith hinges on the resurrection of Jesus. And let me share with you what this truth is all about. Jesus, the Son of God, He took the form of a servant, and He was born in the likeness of men. And this is why we celebrate Christmas, not Christmas as a commercialized event of Santa Clauses and elves and reindeers, but we celebrate Christmas in remembrance of when God became flesh for our sake. Jesus then revealed to us God the Father. He exemplified and He personified the Word of God. He proclaimed the good news of peace and the arrival of God's kingdom. Jesus proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor unto salvation. And whilst He was on earth, Jesus lived a sinless and a perfect life by the power of God. And being spotless, being without sin, he then qualified and became the sacrificial lamb of God. Jesus took upon himself the weight of the sins of the world, the sins of yours and the sins of mine. And he bore the penalty of sin. He took the stripes upon his back. He took the humiliation, the shame, the rejection, and the separation from God. Jesus laid down his life. He was nailed to the cross that he may make atonement, not for his sins, but for our sins on our behalf, so that you and I can be saved from eternal damnation and death. But on that third day, just as Jesus has foretold and as scriptures have foretold, Jesus did not stay dead in the tomb, but he is risen. God has raised Jesus up from the dead, and he is now alive forevermore. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus has risen. Turn to the person the other way and say, he's alive forevermore. And friends, brothers and sisters, because Jesus rose to life, forgiveness of sins is now available and given to those who will put their faith in him as their Savior. Because Jesus rose, he now lives forevermore as the high priest to mediate and intercede for those who will follow him as Lord. Because Jesus rose physically with a new and an incorruptible, imperishable body, we who trust in him and who follow him to the end, we will most certainly also be raised with a new and incorruptible body, and we shall live forevermore in his presence, never to be separated. Because Jesus rose from the dead, all that Jesus says about himself is true. That he is the resurrection, he is the life, he is the truth, and he is the only way to God the Father. And not only that, because he rose from the dead, all the words of Jesus then, all the words of God that we read in the Bible, they are credible, they are reliable, and they will fully, completely be accomplished as written, regardless of whether you want to believe it or not. His word will be accomplished. And because Jesus did rise from the dead historically, he, and only he, Jesus, there is absolutely no one else in this world, nor in the history of this world, who can or who will ever possess such authority, credibility, and power behind their words or their claims. Because all else have died, and they have never risen up. Only Jesus. So only his words will carry and possess that authority, that credibility, and that power. And this is why our Christian faith is built on such an unshakable and solid ground. This is why those of us who follow Jesus, we can confidently walk by faith as well, because we know that all that Jesus and God has said, all that he has promised, he will most definitely fulfill. Amen? So, brothers and sisters, if Jesus really did rise from the dead, and we know historically he did, theologically he did, then what does the resurrection of Jesus mean for your life here then? Have you encountered the risen Christ? And for those of us who are Christians, are you still encountering the risen Christ? Are we willing to take God at his word, to actually build our lives upon His word, and to live our lives in faith and in obedience to all that Jesus has taught and commanded. If we truly believe that Jesus has risen from the dead and that His words are true, are we willing to build our lives and live our lives according to His word? Is the resurrection Christ evident through our lives? The third point for this morning. Will we be silent about the gospel of Christ? Let's look at verses 7 and 8. But go, tell His disciples and Peter, He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him just as He told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And so Mark's gospel officially ends here. Now, having been told the astounding news that Jesus has risen, the angel of God then commissions the three women who were the first eyewitnesses of this glorious and this earth-shaking and life-changing truth to go and tell Peter and the rest of the disciples of the good news and tell them that Jesus will meet them in Galilee just as He told them. Now, we would have imagined that these three women would have immediately darted off from the tomb with exuberance, that they will immediately start telling everyone about their special encounter with the angel and the more awesome news that Jesus has risen. But in an almost anticlimactic way, Mark tells his readers that these three women were instead gripped with shock and with fear. They fled from the tomb and they told no one about what they saw, what they experienced, or what they heard, at least initially. We know from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke and John that the women did actually tell in the end. But at least at that point in time, they did not share it with anyone. And perhaps Mark, as the writer here, was trying to stir a response amongst his readers. And he wanted them to reflect and to ask themselves, how would they have responded to such an awesome piece of news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Would they, like the three women, remain silent? Or how about us? Are we telling others of this awesome gospel of our risen Lord? Or are we also silent? We know that in the subsequent longer ending of Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, we are reminded of Jesus' commission to His disciples, which includes those of us who are followers of Jesus today. That we, as His disciples, are to go into the world to preach the gospel, the good news of the risen Savior, Jesus. We are to preach the gospel to all creation. We are not supposed to hold back and to keep the good news of Jesus to ourselves or for ourselves. Because if we do so, not only will we be found unfaithful to what Jesus has commanded us to do, it would also be a tragedy. A tragedy of eternal proportions. Because you see, only those who put their faith in Christ as their Savior and those who follow Jesus as their Lord are saved from their sins, and they are saved from the corresponding penalty of eternal damnation and death. Those who, however, do not put their faith in Christ will be condemned for their sins. They will be condemned to eternal and unceasing punishment along with the devil and the cohort of his demons. So the big question that lies ahead of us is this. Can we afford then to simply stand by and watch and keep silent on the gospel of Christ? Does the glorious resurrection of Jesus still compels us to share the good news of Christ with those whom the Lord has put around us into our lives, with those whom the Lord has brought into our paths? Will we be silent, or will we share the good news? And the fourth point for this morning is the call to faith and perseverance. Let's take another look at verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Just as he told you. Now we have to remember that when Mark wrote this gospel, he wrote it primarily for the readers and his target audience of that day. And they were experiencing persecution, they were experiencing troubles and challenges because of their faith in Christ. And so there's here another likely message that Mark is wanting to bring across to his readers, and is calling them to faith and perseverance. You see, despite all the mighty works and all the signs that the disciples of Jesus had witnessed, they were in fact still fearful, they were confused, and they were uncertain. And it was not a matter of whether they believed that Jesus is the Messiah or whether he's the Son of God. Rather, if Jesus is truly the promised Messiah, then why must he suffer and why must he die? Similarly, the readers of Mark's gospel in that day, they believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that he's the Son of God. But why do they seem to be suffering more and more persecution and troubles? Is this what we as 21st century Christians today also wonder to ourselves? Perhaps some of us are in the midst of persecution. Perhaps some of us are in a predicament because of our faith and because of our choice to follow God's will. Maybe some of us are wondering, when are we ever going to be receiving respite from the troubles and the persecutions that we are experiencing? Maybe some of us might be wondering, why does victory seem so elusive from us? Why isn't the Church of God not experiencing more victory? Will God vindicate his faithful followers and those who have died for his name? So here, Mark, as well as the author of Hebrews, because they were writing to people of similar situations back then, Mark and the author of Hebrews exhorts their readers to fix their eyes on Jesus and press on to the finish line. Just as how Jesus submitted his will to the will of the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, just as how Jesus remained faithful to the end for the hope and the joy that was set before him, then Mark's readers, the readers of the book of Hebrews, as well as for us believers and followers of Jesus today, we are called to imitate Jesus, to persevere and stay faithful to the end. And just as how Jesus told his disciples that he would go ahead of them and that he will meet them in Galilee, brothers and sisters, Jesus will also be at the finish line to receive us. And just as how God the Father empowered Jesus, He will also empower us by His Spirit. And God will vindicate us, and He will raise us up to eternal life and glory. So, brothers and sisters, let's not be swayed by the things that we see around us. Let's not be shaken by the temptations, nor let's not be disheartened by the trials that we encounter here because of our faith in Christ. Because Jesus, our risen King and our risen Lord, He has overcome sin and death. He has overcome the world. And our faith in Jesus will give us the final victory. The call to step forward by faith in serving Christ, regardless of the stone that's ahead of us, the call to be faithful in preaching the good news of Jesus to the world and to all creation, the call to persevere in our faith and to be faithful to the end, they are all founded and grounded upon the truth and the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. And we are promised that the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from death to life is the same Spirit who will work with immeasurable greatness of power, with immeasurable greatness of power in us and through us to fulfill all that God has called us to be and to do, those of us who believe in Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we have the resurrection truth, we have the resurrection promise, and we have the resurrection power. Amen? In Christ Jesus, we have the resurrection truth, the promise, and the resurrection power. So for those of us who believe and who follow Christ, my encouragement and my exhortation to you is go forth. Go forth by faith and do not be silent, especially during this time of the Christmas time. It's a good time to share the good news. Eternity is at stake. Be faithful in preaching the good news of Christ, our risen Savior and our risen Lord. And be faithful to the very end, because He who calls you, He is faithful. And He will empower you to be faithful to the end. But for those of you who have yet to put your faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I want you to know that God the Father, He has graciously and mercifully led you here this morning. Because this God that we are talking about is the sovereign God. He's outside of time, and yet He encompasses time. There is no coincidence with God. And this morning is His grace and His invitation to you once again. Would you receive His love? Would you receive His salvation through Christ Jesus, His Son? Would you receive His gift this morning? I'd like you to bow your heads right now. Friends, brothers and sisters, I really mean it when I say that none of us are here by coincidence. Because if you think about it, a million and one things can happen in the course of a week. A thousand and one things can happen in the course of a day. It is by no sheer coincidence. This is not a pressure tactic because I don't gain anything from it itself, but this is an urge to respond to the invitation of God, where once again, He is extending His invitation to you, and He says, would you receive His love, and would you receive His gift of salvation? And I'd like to make this time, I'd like to invite you to make this time a special time with the Lord. That if you, in your heart, if you right now would want to respond to the Lord and to say, yes, Lord, I will want to receive your gift. I want to receive your love and your gift of salvation. Then I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And would you make this prayer, repeat this prayer after me, and make this prayer your prayer to God the Father. It's just between you and Him. It's not to me. It's not for me to know, not for me to see. But would you respond to the Lord? And if you say yes, then I'd like to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Would you say, dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I have sinned, and I choose from this day forth to repent and to turn from all my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you are the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried, and that you rose again from the dead. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior, and I confess you as my Lord. I thank you for what you did for me. And by faith, I receive now your gift of salvation. I receive the forgiveness of sins. Please accept me now and make me your child, O God. Help me by your Spirit to live in your truth and in your way of life. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. I'd like to pray for the rest of us now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your word, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will stir our hearts with your word. That, Lord, that you will enable us to feel the love of Christ and the love of the Father all over again. Let us see the glory of Christ and the glory of the resurrected Christ again. Help us, Lord, we pray, for those of us whom you have called to look beyond the stones of our challenges, Lord, and to be able to step out by faith and to walk by faith. Help us to have the courage to respond to your call. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to encounter the risen Christ again and again. Lord, help us not to become too familiar with the glory of the risen Christ. Lord, we pray that you will help us to live in the power and in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be willing to build our lives upon your word and to live, O Lord, in faith and obedience to your word. Help us not to be silent, but to be faithful in proclaiming the good news of Christ to those whom you have put around us, especially during this season. Give us the courage and the empowerment of your Spirit to proclaim the goodness of God in our lives. Keep us also, Lord, we pray, from all temptation. Give us the strength and the grace to persevere and stay faithful to the very end. We pray also, Lord, for all of our loved ones and family members who do not yet know you as Lord and as Savior. Lord, we ask and pray that you will meet them with your love. that they will encounter your love, that they will see your glory, that, Lord, that they will see indeed who is the risen Christ. Lord, we ask and pray that you will touch them and bring them, O Father, into your kingdom. Because, Lord, we know that eternity is at stake, and we know that you love them more than we can humanly do so. So we commit to you all of our family members, O Father, and we bless you even this morning now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we go into the song, in the response song, I just want to encourage you to do just one thing. Would you today go back, all right, and write down on a piece of paper what is one thing that the Lord has showed you about your faith this year? What is one thing that the Lord has showed you about faith this year? This year we have taken and we have tracked quite a number of weeks talking about all the different kinds of faith. We talk about faith in Christ, we talk about persevering faith, prevailing faith, we talk about all the many ways and the many reasons that we have for our faith in Christ. So what is one thing that the Lord has spoken to you about faith this year? And write down on a piece of paper, in that same piece of paper, what is one thing that you are going to do about it? Don't let 2025 pass you by just like that. This year itself, I know it sounds might sound a bit morbid, but I've at least conducted 3 funerals. No one started the year thinking that this might be their last year. But don't let time pass you by just like this. Every day and every moment, every second is a gift from God the Father. Make use of that. Grow in faith so that you can end the year and say that this is what I've learned about faith, and this is how I will go further and I will go deeper and I'll go higher in faith and in my love for God. Would you do that? Yes? Would you do that? Hello? Yes? All right? Don't waste the many weeks that we have this year on faith, okay? Write down on a piece of paper. Don't wait for Christmas. Write it down and then come on watch night service and share your testimony and your good news. All right? Shall we stand and shall we respond to the Lord with this song?